I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hey, everybody. I'm back on the road February 13th in Orlando, Florida. Florida? I don't know why I said that so weird. But I'm going to be there. February 13th, Orlando, Florida. February 14th, Tampa, Florida. February 28th, Buffalo, New York. I'll see you there, hopefully. DanSoder.com for tickets. I was holding that in. I don't know if we kept that in, but that was a real burp. I mean, we don't even need it. We don't do intros on this, but this is the one guy I want to intro from Stuff Island.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We don't fuck around. No kissing. No kissing on this podcast.
Yeah, don't we?
Right to insertion. Yeah. Tommy motherfucking Pope.
Let's go.
Stuff Island. Look at Dish.
Yeah.
A guy I've known forever that I fucking love. And one of my friends that this week I'm in a position of like, I want you to be miserable this weekend. Because the 49ers are playing the Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
this sucks. This sucks. Yeah. Having an injured team sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Because if we were full strength, the shit I would be talking to you.
Yeah.
But we have literally, and if you're not a sports fan,
Dan.
People, hold on. People sometimes do this with the podcast where I talk sports and they go, I don't like it. I'm telling you right now, cut to the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
We'll be on to something else.
We get the same shit. You start mentioning sports to these fucking
deranged. Cut to the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
And I understand that the game already happened.
Yeah.
I'm probably very upset about it.
Yeah.
Tommy's probably on fucking cloud nine about it.
Who knows?
Who knows?
One of us will be dead.
But if I will say this, if the 49ers
were at full strength.
No. If we win or you guys don't beat us by two scores.
Yeah.
You need to fire your offensive coordinator.
Let me tell you something. You want to talk about healthy? You want to talk about our OC has a blown ACL, MCL. His fucking head is backwards.
Yo, dude,
that guy is going to get shot to the fucking moon in a cannon.
Let me tell you something about Eagles fans. You guys are the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You're the defending
Super Bowl champions. Arguably a better roster.
Easily.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman is... It's not even an argument.
Yeah.
He's the greatest general manager the NFL probably has ever seen.
Yeah, this is in deep couch.
In the yeah.
It's deep because the I can't I gotta do something with my feet.
I know. I keep going.
Talk about our fucking team like
that. But Howie is like a guy where I watch. Now again, we Niners, Eagles, when we bump into each other, it's always a little nasty. I like that.
Yeah.
But in the NFC East, you guys are, all my friends are Eagles fans.
Yeah.
So I like watching you guys. I pay attention to the team.
Yeah.
Howie is like the greatest general manager. Your roster's locked.
It's crazy.
To 2028.
It's crazy.
It's like,
and they're young.
And they're young.
Outside
and
of a couple
good.
Dudes, they're young as hell.
But man, oh man, your offensive coordinator has been getting eggs thrown at his house.
Brother.
Like people in Philly are like going to his house and just screaming at him.
That kid, he deserves much more.
What is it?
I know every fucking
Because, like, our
week.
Team is... Like, I can name you what's wrong with our team. ACL on Bosa. Ankle on Warner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
ACL on our backup
DN. Objective things you can lay your head on
Medical
a pillow
conditions.
About.
Medical conditions.
Yeah. You can at least leave this season going, look, dude, we had some injuries.
And also, and 49ers fans will tell you this, the off-season...
Sorry,
I mean, you got it. You got an arm. You got to touch
it's
it.
It's within reach. You're not going to hold this?
Yeah, and it's also a real...
I know what the fuck it is,
it's a game ball, bro.
I know this is a game ball.
You got a game ball.
Jesus Christ. And why are we doing this?
Well, let's tell you right
now. Let's go outside.
I would love to have a catch.
Toss around a one-way street.
I would love to have a catch.
Piss off some delivery guys.
Just Amazon drivers getting mad.
Ugh.
Before we get back to the Birds Niners...
Yeah.
Can I tell you... You're the only person that I can really talk about this on the podcast. He's going to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
But having a friend that is a head coach in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
The rage.
Oh, my God.
That I feel when people talk shit about him.
Oh, my God.
The rage.
It's tough, dude.
Like,
it's tough.
Mike McDaniel's one of my oldest friends.
Yeah.
Went through hell with me.
Yeah.
When my dad died, he was my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, friends through high school. We reconnected as adults when we both gave up drinking.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, of course.
He's exactly who he is. You see, that's my friend.
Yeah.
Been the same guy since seventh grade. And then I got Rex Ryan with his fucking bad teeth, calling him nerd boy.
He's got game show host teeth, dude. It's fucking nuts.
Hey, Rex.
Throwing those in is crazy.
Hey, you fat fuck. Who thought blue teeth were a good idea?
Yeah, yeah. Halloween, also, Halloween Central.
Now your food can see you coming in the dark. You fucking... I thought toes are for sucking, not for eating. You fucking idiot. Colin McDaniel, nerd boy. He's got more pussy than you ever had. You fat fuck. You couldn't make it work with the Jets.
His wife's vagina is in a cast.
Oh, my God.
Him fucking crawling through that.
Oh, my God.
Just
she's got
buzzsawing through that pussy.
She's got nicks on her lips from those ugly ass teeth. And I don't give a fuck. If I saw him in person, here's the thing is like, I'm prepped when I see him in person just to double bird him.
No, 100%.
And be like, fuck you.
But he's built like fucking pancake batter in a condom. It's like, dude is melting. He really is. He's melting everywhere in the sun.
He just rolls down hallway.
Fuck him.
But I'm telling you,
yeah.
When you have skin in the game and it's someone you love,
yeah, baby.
You know, we both feel this way when we see people talk shit about Shane.
Of course.
People where you're like,
yeah.
I don't want, if I see you, I'm going to be fucking mad about
it. Yeah, yeah.
But dude, this season, the Dolphins had a really tough season.
You're expressing the beauty of sports.
Exactly.
It's you want this anger.
Yes.
You want this something to fuel your regular life.
Yeah. It's hot sauce
the ups and downs
on the boring dish 100%. Of life.
Yeah, yeah. It's hot sauce on eggs.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
exactly what it is.
I have it every fucking day. You put a little hot sauce on there. Baby, we got anger. We got anger on a football.
And what I love about it is like, it's fun when you talk shit about sports, but then when people actually know sports, where I go like, anybody that I've talked to, especially Shane, about Eagles, Niners, and I go, we're fucking injured. Mm. And then sports fans can even bypass their anger to go, yeah, that does suck.
Yeah, yeah, like, of course.
You go, I don't want to fight you with a broken hand.
Dude,
and you go, well, that's all I got.
Yeah, you don't want to see anyone injured, and you also don't want to play an injured team.
You want to beat the best.
The best.
It's like
that's why the Eagles Patriots Super Bowl, dude, I'll rewatch that
unbelievable.
Every 6 months. It was the greatest game ever played. Obviously, I'm biased, but everyone's at full strength playing their best game.
You're going against the greatest.
Yeah, the best ever.
The greatest dynasty in the NFL.
Up, what, 450 or something?
It was crazy. Also, what I love about it is that was your guys' turn into the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Same with, it was 04 with the Red Sox. Yeah. 04 Red Sox, everyone's like, beat the fucking Yankees. Yep. And then they do it, and then they win another one, and you go,
fuck you.
Yes. That's exactly
it. Yeah, you're putting the Vader helmet on as soon as you get in the locker room.
That's exactly it.
You're on the other down. Side. Just,
where is Padme?
Where is San Fran?
No, it is. What's crazy is I watched it happen to Chiefs fans in real time.
Yeah.
Because I went to the first Super Bowl they played in Miami and I was at the airport the next day. Someone was like, a couple people were like, congratulations. And people were like, we've been waiting so long. And then a couple of people were like, all right, now shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's how I feel about Bills fans.
Yeah.
Bills fans, if you're watching,
they're coming.
If you guys win the Super Bowl this year, we're over you.
Yes, 100%.
You got your new stadium. You got your ring.
I'm a big fan. I want to see them win, unless we're playing them. But goddamn, as soon as they win, fuck them forever.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. The second they win, you go, so you're all right.
Yeah. I mean, we dog walked the fucking Chiefs.
I loved it.
Yeah, we changed their whole organization. We fucking Sonic the Hedgehog. The rings fell out of their pockets.
Dude, my God. Patrick Mahomes was like, I don't know what to do. Where am I? Kelsey's like, straight up, the whole time just looking at the clock being like, can I retire?
Yeah.
He does this, Travis Kelce does this thing where he's fake blue collar.
Yeah, he's Wigger King.
Yeah, dude. He really is just like black scent until he dates Taylor Swift. Yeah, and then he's like, I just love music. I just love it. But they were talking about if this was his last game at Arrowhead when he was playing the Broncos on Christmas. And he went, saw that billboard for that lottery.
I could have used that. He said something like that, right? I could have used that $2,000.
You have a $100 million deal with Amazon.
Yeah, dude.
Stop acting like, because you put on Carhartt that you're fucking laying rebar.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That drove me insane.
Yeah, where he goes.
It's like you're trying to assimilate with regular human beings.
You're in a Lucky Charms commercial immediately after. But that's what he did. He goes, I see that lotto sign. I win that $1 billion. You're fucking Taylor Swift. Yeah. She's got more money than all of South America.
I think it was 20 million. It wasn't even, it made me go, yeah, it's fucking chump change.
Yeah, that's your signing bonus.
Yeah, it's fucking Uber money, babe.
He goes, that's jet money so I can fly her and see her in South America. Ah, man, I don't know. But sports are fun until your team gets to the playoffs, and then it's just nerves.
And then
you're just like,
buddy, I'm that over. Way. If the Redskins game,
really?
That just I'm fucking nuts because that there's a lot of implications.
In yeah,
it. We could have got a
Seahawks
2-seed.
Game when we were playing Week 18.
Yeah,
and also Seahawks fans know you can talk shit to me and it'll make me mad. So they DM me and they're like, "Fucking go Hawks!" Yeah. And I'm like, first off, your fan base.
You're not even a real fan base.
Your fan base is fugazi.
They don't
care.
The
whole fucking, hey, the 12th man thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stole it from Texas A&M.
100%.
They have to pay $35,000 a year to use the 12th man. You fucking hacks. Way to steal your thing.
Pacific Northwest and fucking Florida.
None of it's real.
None of your teams fucking matter. I don't care if it's hockey. Fucking the Lightning, suck my dick. They win all the time.
Dude, the Panthers.
The Panthers are a
dynasty right now.
Yeah.
No. I just got into hockey.
Dude.
And I'm a Bruins fan because of the family I'm marrying into.
Yeah.
Because they don't fuck around.
No, Bruins are
a
staple.
Here's the thing with sports, especially when you're marrying into a family or you're dating somebody, you got to check who the family's number one sports team is.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the one that dominates. Had they been a Patriots family,
it'd
probably be a little bit weird.
100%.
Because I'd be like, well, the Niners are...
Yeah.
One time I was flying into Boston from London, and I had my 49er hat on. This is Boston sports in just one moment.
Yeah.
I'm going through, like, customs. Like, the guy's looking at my passport. Thick-ass Boston accent. And I'm wearing my Niners hat. And he goes, okay, you were in London for 7 days, all right? And he looks at it, he goes, Niner hat in Boston. That's risky. And I just push back immediately. I go, for what? What's the rivalry?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. Stamps it and does. And I go, oh, you just wanted to fight.
Yeah.
You don't even know. You don't even, dude.
You don't know why. It's ingrained in your fucking DNA.
It's crazy.
Dude.
Yeah. We rented a car at Hertz from Logan because we were going to drive back to New York from Boston.
Yeah.
Katie and I flew into Logan. We rent a car at Hertz. Hertz rental car. You know the people that check? They like scan your car and do all that stuff. Guy's like going through it, looking at my license. Niners hat on again. He hands me this stuff and he goes, go Boston sports.
Yeah.
Just generic.
Yeah.
Just all the sports. You fucking
psycho. That's like happy holidays for retards.
You go, happy holidays.
Yeah.
Go Boston sports.
Well, that's what they do in Philly. It's go Birds.
Yeah. I mean, go Birds is your, you guys are close. Hey, everybody. It's your favorite hypochondriac. Well, I'm not really not a hypochondriac anymore because, I go see a doctor. And then you realize, like, oh, maybe this is in my head. Once you see an actual medical professional and they're like, no, you feel like, oh, yeah, I might have let that get away from me in my head. Anyways, if you have an actual medical problem and you need to see a doctor, ZocDoc. I've been on it since 2012, baby. I'm talking about had the app on my phone. And it's helps me find a doctor in whatever area you're in network, whatever specialty you need. You just can go right to ZocDoc and find a doctor almost immediately. A free app. And it's the website that helps you find and book high quality in-network doctors so you can find someone that you love and that you can use regularly. And it's all through just an app for free, a free app. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Mint Mobile. Talking cell phone carrier, Mint Mobile's end of the year sale is still going on, but only until the end of January. Cut out big wireless bloated plans and unnecessarily monthly charges with 50% off 3, 6, and 12 months of unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Plans start at just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/soder. That's mintmobile.com/soder. Limited time offer, upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 a month equivalent, taxes and fees extra, initial plans term only. 50 gigabyte may slow when network is busy. Capable device required. If availability, speed, and coverage varies, see mintmobile.com.
Dude, when I first moved to New York, it took me weeks to get over just seeing Yankee hats.
Oh, my God.
The fucking pain I'd have in my heart. Just anger. I would
your division.
Well, this fucking guy, I want to say something.
Your division
rivals. And then I got
the
fucking Texas. Oh. Cowboy hats?
Oh, my God.
I'm going from hell to heller.
You are going worst to worst to like even worse
Austin is it's not real.
They wear it because it's
they
ironic.
Don't care. Yeah,
they go this cowboy hat. 100%. A guy got killed in a drunk driving accident, and I bought this out of Buffalo Exchange.
Purple bangs flowing through the top of the straight.
They actually had to light the jaws of life it off his crushed skull, but I bought it for $38. It's corduroy.
Yeah.
You don't Austin. Does Austin outside of UT have sports?
No.
Like outside of Texas?
No, there's
like the university?
In fact, there's one sports bar that we frequent that's a hardcore Eagles bar.
Yeah.
All Philly sports, but Eagles games. Standing room only. They play the fight song. It's fucking nuts. They got a DJ.
Great.
Dude. Like noon. There's a pill head fucking spinning records.
You think he went to bed at all, or he just fucking shot through?
He don't even watch football, dude.
He goes, I don't know. Their accents changed. I'm on so much drugs.
He's just focused on beating sexual assault cases.
I got handsy back there. Now I'm up here fucking worrying about it.
Pass the time spinning
when
records.
When you move to a rival city.
Yeah. Luckily, it's not. They don't like if it was actual Dallas.
Yeah, you'd have
proper.
You'd have problems.
It's a problem.
You'd have problems.
Yeah, because they're true hillbillies.
And as a Niner fan, I don't bump into too much shit. Maybe in the early 90s, it would have been a problem if I was here.
Right, right.
But here
time
they're going.
Time
has passed. But NFC East rivalry.
It never, ever ends.
And you guys have, I would say, the best rivalry in a division.
100%.
100%, because you got Eagles, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Washington, Eagles.
I feel like it's the Yankees, Red Sox of football with the Cowboys, Eagles. Shit. What mark are we at? 15? Did you skip all this?
Yeah, I don't.
I got the
board
going.
I don't agree with that.
Shut up, Dan.
I don't agree.
We're having fun.
I think Bears.
That's interesting.
I think Bears, Packers is Sox, Yankees, because they're close.
Yeah.
They're closer, and there's more. Like, dude,
there's more history.
Dude, Bears fans hate the Packers. And there's like kids that grow up just being like in Wisconsin.
Well, you're from fucking Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying.
And you got like, nothing else.
Got nothing. I always used to argue best sports rivalries. And then Joe List blew me out of the water with North Carolina Duke.
Yeah, oh, that's
because they're down the road from each other.
Billion percent.
Yeah. They're
a
like,
billion percent.
They've hated each other forever. It's like one of the games I want to go to is a UNC Duke at camera.
Yeah, you jump around with all those fucking Harry Potters.
I wouldn't. My knees are busted.
Yeah.
I'd watch them. I go, oh.
Well, you're tall enough to stand over these little 5'6" pharmacy.
Can you guys stop? I'm trying to watch it.
Yeah.
Do you like the food in Austin at least? Because you're.
Nah, it's not a food city. People say it's a food. It's not a food city.
It isn't?
No. It's fucking obviously barbecue heavy, but the money you have to spend to get a good quality meal outside of the cuisine of American barbecue is fucking, it's crazy.
Do they like thank you for coming
$300
in there? They're like, thank you. Everyone just wants ribs.
Dude, we had sushi at Scratch.
Okay.
Scratch, which is omakase, which is, you know.
I don't know, but at first it was real American, and then it went real Japanese.
It's a Japanese farm system. But yeah. It's a baseball team.
We got guys coming up in the double A's.
The biggest rivalry in Japanese sports.
So when you go get sushi in Texas to me doesn't even.
Dude, I know. This is why I said it. It is fucking remarkable. This guy is Philip Lee. He's he owns a bunch of restaurants. He's a Michelin guy for a while. It was the most exceptional experience I've ever had in my life. 18 courses. Everyone's different. Every different piece of fish. They only had a couple meats, but it was like mind-blowingly beautiful.
Like at
personal.
The end where you were just like...
Dude, no. So no one's talking because everyone's like, you know...
Enjoying it.
Wealthy and enjoying it and just not... They have no personality.
Yeah.
So after every bite, I'm going, I'm like a black lady. I was like, oh my God.
And then some guy,
you try it?
Some guy in a 10-gallon hat that owns 40 oil derricks is like, that boy over there likes, I'm just trying to have a tuna fish sandwich in peace.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Michael Vick jersey.
Yeah, he's like, can you put it on bread? I wouldn't mind some fish on bread. Yeah, that's...
It just gets old. There's like, there's not much to... There's no American comfort foods. This is what I miss about Philly and New York.
I mean, you can go get a fucking... New York, you can get a chop cheese, or Philly, you can go get a good deli sandwich. Or a hoagie.
It's crazy, the void. You know, you watch those restaurant shows where they're like, fucking Gordon Ramsay will put on like a bar rescue or rescue type shit. They put a map out and they go, Japanese, Chinese... Fucking American Steakhouse, and they look for all these locations. There is not, there's a void.
Really?
For American comfort food.
Like no sandwich deli or?
You're hungover. There's no like fucking, dude, there's a couple places I've tried that have like the best ratings for like a comfort fucking
Can I tell
Italian
you
sub.
It's big city bias. When you grow up in a big city, one of the major cities in the United States.
Yeah.
You get used to stuff like that.
100%.
Because I grew up
and you get it from like delis and like small places around the corner. You can walk.
I didn't even understand that concept.
Yeah.
When I was in college in Arizona, my roommate was from Long Island. His friend was interning at SNL and then came to visit Tucson. And Billy and I were just talking. And I was like, and he's like, where's a deli around here? And I was like, what do you mean? Like you need... cold cuts? I could take you to the fries. There's a grocery store. There's a deli in the fries. He's like, a sandwich. And I go, Subway's across the street. And it's like watching this guy just fall downstairs of disappointment.
Yeah.
Of him going
just
like,
logs on the Delta immediately. He's like, I get the fuck out of here.
He was like, you guys don't have anything? I was like, well, like, what do you want? And he's like, a sandwich. And I was like, Chiba Hut's open. And he was like, I'm going to myself. Like by the third or fourth, by the time I got the blimpies, he was looking for rope.
Yeah.
And he was like, get me the fuck out of here. Because I don't think people that grow up in large cities don't understand that you don't have that outside.
Yeah, like, it's a strip mall everywhere else.
If I were to go to Denver and go like, let me get a good bacon, egg, and cheese, they would go, Firehouse Subs is doing breakfast.
Here's the thing though, like Primo's Hoagies, send it, dude.
Yeah.
Like we're talking high-end comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort foods that like do it right. Thin sliced meat that are crunched.
Why have
you know this, Dan? You know the secret of making a good deli sandwich?
Fucking tell me, baby.
Crunching the meats.
Crunching the
meats? Yeah. So you get it extra thin. Everything's sliced extra thin.
Okay.
Right? The type of shit.
Write this down.
You can see
everyone
through.
At home.
Right?
Yeah.
Genoa salami.
Hold it up.
Capicola.
Yeah.
Prosciutto.
Capicola gets no love.
I wanna gauge your fucking your face hair through a piece of meat. You wanna see it enough to know my buddy's got a beard on right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I wanna do confession through
and you
it.
Lay it out. If you're making
I know you're there, but I don't know you're there.
It's like the mesh.
You go, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
I got my meat cut too thick. No, you want when you lay it out, imagine a piece of salami, right?
Yeah.
Circular. It's sitting on the table. What you do is you pinch. A three-prong pinch and twist.
You get your,
and that goes on
your fucking in layers. Your little Italian claws.
Babe, you got to get you lose a ring.
You fucking lose. You land like an eagle. Like an Italian eagle, you land and fucking crunch it.
Yeah, you're plucking it out of the ocean.
And you take it out and you take back off and drop it on your fucking your little sandwich nest. He's up. You got two pieces.
My girlfriend did this trying to pick one. Baby burger, a fucking
feeding it
a hot pepper.
So you
crunch it, you twist, crunch and twist, and you aerate.
Okay.
And the purpose of that is it's almost the difference between a filet mignon and a fucking, the ass of a cow.
Yeah, a little rump roast.
Yeah, rump roast.
Right? Sure.
London broil, if you will.
What's so funny is that's the only part of Colorado that comes out of me where there's talking cuts of meat. And I go, what are you looking for? Like rump roast? Everything else, they're like,
so
you skinny? I go, absolutely not. Yeah. Anything else, they go, what about cutting cattle? I go, brother, what do you want to talk about? Hindquarters? What are we talking about? Mid? Because you ain't getting up near And if you want tongue... Brother, I can cook you some tongue.
Beef tongue fucking rules.
Beef tongue,
beef tongue
done
tacos.
Well.
Very send good. It.
Yeah, Mexicans.
Anyway,
are down
you keep
with that
layering
shit.
These aeration
sure.
levels, right? You got the mortadella, you got the capicola, you got the salami. Mm. Everything's layered except for the cheese. Provolone, keep it
always provolone,
and also extra cut. You got to keep it thick.
Yeah,
cheese to meat ratio is just as important as bread to meat ratio in the whole thing, right? So you look at just a regular cheeseburger.
Okay.
I need a certain amount of cheese for the burger. If you're doing one of those steak cut, small fancy burgers, the roll can't be more than two-thirds.
Sure.
The size of the fucking meat.
What about a smash burger? What are you looking for?
I
hate those.
In and out, right to the toilet.
Are you a smash burger?
No. Sometimes I just toss it right in the toilet to save 30 minutes of digestion.
Whenever I've made burgers, that's really funny. You go, boom, it just right slices back. Whenever I have a smash burger, it feels like I'm having the last hamburger someone cooked at a barbecue.
Of course you are.
Because they're just like,
it's all oil
in
from
that gristle.
Yeah.
You're like, get the fuck out of here.
What's the point?
I don't like it.
Microwave bacon. Yeah, you know what
exactly,
I'm saying?
That's exactly
it. Put a little fucking paper. This is a secret, dude. Just paper towel, microwaved bacon. Well, it's the greatest bacon of all time.
Really?
It soaks up all the extra grease.
Microwave. It's got
a perfect crunch.
I love a crunch on a bacon.
Yeah. My mother used to have this like this little circular edged, like a rimmed plastic. Obviously, we're, damaging our souls.
Yeah.
And it would lay over the ridges. And it would be a grease catcher, like a Foreman grill in a sense. And then she would just put paper towel over it and then let it sit. What are you talking about? Texture, crunch. Sometimes Chef Mike, microwave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all you need, baby.
Yeah, old Mikey to beep, boop, 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 boop. And then you're fucking good to go.
Let's go.
I love a microwave. I'll do microwave cuisine. You should do a whole cooking book on microwave cuisine. Mm. I guarantee you'd be a New York Times bestseller.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm telling you, your fucking particular set of skills, like asshole Philadelphia cookbook.
Because what are they going to do? It's just the thing. It's like, how many dishes can I make that you're actually going to cook?
No,
there's only 10% of people that are watching this are going to cook what I'm cooking.
Exactly.
And the whole purpose of the show is to go, you could cook this.
Yes.
You can impress anyone.
Yes. And when you watch Tommy cook, go watch our, Katie and I were on an episode of Look at Dish. He made these unbelievable sausage and peppers.
It's very simple.
And it was so simple that you're like, sometimes you watch stuff get made and you go, I feel extra retarded for not cooking.
Yeah.
I feel like. I would probably put my top two regrets of growing up, not knowing cars and not knowing how to cook.
Yeah.
I think those are the two things that I failed myself
100%,
on.
Dude.
My stepdad, Nick, shout out Nick. I'm looking for you, motherfucker.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he's in his 80s. I want to send him an email that just says, you were the man.
Where were you?
You were the man. No, he was the man.
Oh.
Him and my mom were married for like 3 years when I was a kid. The man.
Yeah,
they were together for like 5, married for 3, but he was the man. And he would just be in our garage building cars.
Yeah.
He
really hated your mom, huh?
Dude. Well, they didn't last
he
that
probably
long.
Learned how to build a car.
He was like, I was.
Because he was so fucking miserable.
Yeah, he goes, I just got to go in there.
Yeah, I got to figure out the
mechanics.
My mom
goes, Nick, he just wheels under the truck. He goes, honestly, I didn't even rebuild it. I just sat under there and sighed a bunch.
He's like, just crying to the oil tank.
He goes, dude, he built, though, for my mom, like as an anniversary present, he bought her the body of a 1970 MGB and then built it, like in our garage.
Damn.
Built a car. And my gay ass, while he was building a car, I was like, I'm going to watch wrestling and X-Men. And he was like, okay.
Should have
been out there learning.
There has to be a little forgiveness there because children are ignorant. To real life skills and stuff. You have to be pressured by either an abusive or like a very educational father to get in stuff like
that's
that.
So funny.
Do you know what I mean?
You really have to either be forced or have just the greatest dad.
Yeah.
There's no middleman.
There's no in between. It's a dad that wants to beat the fuck out of you.
And so you go, hey, instead of hitting me, teach me about a carburetor.
Yeah. Same thing with cooking. Even if your father cooks.
My dad was.
The last thing he wants to do is try and teach you.
My dad and my mom. Because
it's a break. Cooking is an exceptional break from life where it's like, it's beauty, dude. Like the orchestration of like prep.
Can I tell
throwing
you?
Throwing on some fucking background piano music or jazz, and I don't mean to be fucking hacking corny about it, but just music that is mellow.
No words?
No words.
Great.
No words. Or if there's words, it's like soft, melodramatic, gay shit.
Yeah, I love
but
it.
But like prepping and the lighting's perfect and the just, again, the orchestration of time and temperature and fucking getting a meal right and then sitting down going, I fucking crushed that.
I'll tell you, man.
3 hours goes by and I'm happy for some reason.
Warby Parker. You know, I got laser eyes, but they're starting to wear off. So I might, I'm making peace with the fact that I might have to go back to getting glasses again. And I'm okay with that. Because I think as I get older, people will take me more seriously with glasses. But when I did wear glasses before the LASIK, Warby Parker was my place. I'd pop in, try on a different pair, see it. You can even see an ophthalmologist right there. And then boom, get... Ophthalmologist is the right word, right? That's not the foot one. These doctors, sometimes you think you're talking eyes and you're talking feet. But Warby Parker, you can go see an eye doctor. They can get you the right prescription. And then you can find a good pair of glasses. In fact, I remember going there with a... an old girlfriend and being like, you pick out my glasses. And then she did. And then we broke up. And then I thought about her every time I wore them. And it sucked. But the glasses were good. So when it comes to quality for the price, Warby Parker is the best. You know, they got completely, they don't got the outdated styles. They got the good stuff. They have everything you want for better looks, for happier eyes. It includes contacts, online eye exams, and sunglasses. Warby Parker gives you quality and better-looking prescription eyewear at a fraction of the going price. Our listeners get 15% off plus free shipping when they buy two or more pairs of prescription glasses at warbyparker.com/soder. That's 15% off when you buy two pairs at warbyparker.com/soder. After your purchase, they're going to ask what you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Playoff season can feel like a roller coaster with all the ups and downs, just like Tommy and Shane talked about, when sports get intense. Marley Spoon is here to help you keep meals simple no matter how wild your schedule gets. Some days you want to cook from scratch. Other days you just need something quick and tasty. Marley Spoon has you covered with chef-designed recipes and fresh ingredients, plus ready-to-eat options for those in-between moments. There are over 100 recipes to pick from every week, so you can always find something that fits your mood, whether you're celebrating a win or just need comfort food after a tough game. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45.
My dad loved to cook. Love to cook. The only time I saw him at his peak happiness outside of watching the Niners was when he was in the, I swear to God, I remember this burning my brain in my grandma's apartment in San Francisco, him cooking with a cocktail and then him just like working over the sauce and giving like a,
yeah,
ugh, of his rum and coke, ugh, and then getting back into it. I watched my dad and he'd have the towel over his shoulder,
yes, sir,
just moving stuff. And he could cook like a motherfucker. My mom's a fantastic cook.
Really?
And she said when they were married, their favorite thing was just to cook all day.
100%.
Just on a Sunday. Just going to cook all day. You make these three dishes, I'll make this dish. Yeah. And then at night, we'll have a big dinner.
A perfect sign of a happy relationship or marriage is if they can exist in the kitchen together.
Yeah.
And know what they're doing. Be self-sufficient, independent, and confident.
Is that big for you when you date? Do you like...
No.
Because you're the cook.
Yeah, so. I'll take it over.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing all of it. My
Have you
girl
ever dated
now
someone?
Is a really good cook. She didn't cook at all until I met her, and she's fucking unbelievable.
I love that.
How, dude, it's insane. Her talent's insane. However, we have to work on the communication thing where it's like, and I'm not talking about like behind, like I'm not
corner.
I'm not saying communication like, you know, chef talk type shit. I mean like, independence and like be confident because she's always like, you
am I doing it wrong?
It's always like, get the fuck off my shoulder, you know, like, yeah. I'm always over and I'm like, no, I'm just trying to give you advice of things that I fucked up for years, like I'm trying to teach you it and that's like I feel like it's an emotional like roadblock for relationships where it's like, if I said it, it's different. Whereas like, if you knew what you were doing and you told her how to cut an onion or something like that, she'd be like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, dude.
And if I say, she's like, well, can you just give me a chance?
Yeah, that's
will like, we, you know, it's just like, no, you're not, I'm different.
Any kind of instruction. It's like if you go for golf lessons,
dude,
and you go, oh, no, you're pulling your arm. And she goes, what do you know?
Yeah.
And then the golfer goes, you're pulling your arm. She goes, oh, that, I felt that.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there and you're like,
yeah. Look at the difference.
I fucking told you.
Instead, I spent $1,500 for lessons.
And
I said the same fucking thing.
That's where the argument starts. Yeah. It's because we get mad and we go, I just said that. Yeah. And then she goes, but you didn't say it like that. And then it's just like, kaboosh. Yeah. What got you into cooking? When did you start cooking? Was your family, like, was it your dad and mom being like, get in the kitchen?
No, it was truly the opposite, where my parents weren't around and or for my brothers not to fuck me up. Like, this is true. I've said this many times.
Yeah.
I would cook for my brothers so they didn't abuse me.
Dude, that's...
Yeah. So after school, my parents weren't home. My mother was a night nurse.
Yeah.
So she worked 12-hour shifts. My dad worked until he picked us up at 5 to go to football, baseball, basketball practice, whatever the fuck.
So you had those hours.
A few hours to avoid beatings. Yeah. And, you know, during seasons, like, you didn't want to go out and play because you got to get your homework done and then go to the football field or something. Sure. Right? So I would just make them grilled cheese. So I mastered the grilled cheese at a very young age. The simplest of things to do.
When was the moment? Do you remember the moment
where I was like, unlocked? I got it.
Where you go, I'm not getting hit.
Dude.
I'm not getting hit.
Yeah. Oh, dude, 100%. I don't mean there's, I couldn't tell you the exact day.
Yeah.
But I realized the way they behaved, and I would just cook them something. I'm like, you guys want a, you want a grilled cheese or something?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I could use a grill. Just put their hand down. Like,
they open it up and they go,
yeah. Throw a fist to grab the plate. Oh, you look at that. Huh?
Oh, my. Oh, what did you do? Look, did you butter both sides of the toast?
Look at Facha Brute bringing me something, huh? Oh, monkey face.
And then from that, did it become like...
I got obsessed. Yeah. I got obsessed with like learning how to try new dishes and like learn how to make a sauce.
Have you done the very complicated ones like a quiche?
Yeah, that's not complicated.
No, what's the one that sets? That like crumbles.
No, I know what you're talking about. Souffle. No, I didn't do a souffle. Souffle, we did a chocolate souffle with Chef Donnie at
Chef Donnie's the man.
Yeah, he's the man. At Barstool.
Yeah.
We did like a collab where he showed us how to make it. I've yet to recreate it. But yeah, like a chocolate souffle is like one of my favorite desserts, which is vanilla ice cream. If you know how to do that. And he showed us how to do it, just ramekins, you know. It's just very easy to do. It's just all, again, timing. It's just have some fucking wherewithal when you're making something. Stay focused.
I do feel the same comfort around people
football
who can...
Football to cooking, babe. This is where we're at now.
I feel the same comfort with people that cook that people that can fight.
Yeah.
That confidence of like, you know, like when...
timing. It's all timing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But like self-defense guys will like tell you something where they go, now right here you're grabbing.
Yeah.
You're going to want to pull.
Yeah.
That's how it feels when I watch you cook and you go, right here you got the peppers. You're going to lean into them. You're going to feel a little pressure. Yeah, that's the same feeling. Yeah. Like, I grab his arm, now I'm in control. Now I can move him anywhere I want
to. I actually have to give Chris a chokehold.
Yeah, you're like, just stop.
Get the fuck off the pan. Don't touch the heat.
Have you had anybody in your life that tries to cook that sucks so bad that you're just like, hey, we're done. We can't do this.
Yeah, I mean.
Like friends where you're like, yeah, I'll show you how to cook something. And then halfway in you go, the fuck.
No one's ever really tried to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I'm
I don't have any friends that like really cook.
DeRosa can cook.
DeRosa is very knowledgeable. I've never seen him cook.
Okay.
But he's very knowledgeable.
Are you the only one? Are you the Highlander?
Yeah.
That can be only one?
Yeah, I am. Dude. Like, I removed the sword. Yeah. My chef's knife from the rock.
Someone introduced
you. I was the only one to get pulled out.
Someone else introduced you. He goes, my friend that can cook. And Tommy goes, and you just unsheath it. I don't think you can. What the fuck can you make? Yeah, because I'm useless, and I would like to learn. And my mom, bless her, tried.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic cook.
Yeah.
And when I was going to college, she was like, I'm going to put together like 7 recipes that are very fucking easy that you can learn.
Yeah.
And I got good at like 3 of them,
yeah.
And then just alcoholism.
This is, alcoholism, if you can control it, it's very good for the kitchen.
It's great.
You know what I mean? You focus, yeah. Couple bottles of wine, you get locked in.
Yeah, that's why the best is watching, if you ever work at a restaurant, watching the line cooks just get blackout drunk.
Oh my God.
After a shift.
And they're managing all those opioids.
Oh my God.
Those guys are fucking ups, downs, animals. Dude.
Ups, downs, left and rights.
Yeah. They're all DJs in a bar.
I really want to just interview chefs.
Yeah.
Because I find them to be so interesting.
You know what the problem is, Dan? And this is what I'm going to do with my show. Once we start going on the road a bunch, the chefs that are actually catered to in terms of media are high-end chefs, right? So this is like the disconnect with the culinary world and the comedy world. And that's why I wanted to do my show, is it's either the bougiest of shit where like you don't feel connected to the chef.
Sure.
You're, it's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, you but it's like watching Cirque du Soleil.
100%.
You go, you're a gay Frenchman in fucking cloth lifting yourself up.
I can't do a triple Indian to a barrel.
I have a tough time with 20 push-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's lifting himself off a finger.
Bingo. Yeah, I don't. So I want to step down the chefs that are like...
Applebee's.
That's all right. You want pillhead chefs that are very fun, and then you want the middle ground. I had a show idea that I almost sold to the production company that did...
Yeah.
And it was called Nights of the Night, where it was a travel show where we did comedy, met like Attell in fucking Seattle, and we went through his daily routines, saw a couple places, you know, the touristy type shit throughout the day, and then I met the next upcoming chef, and we go through his kitchen, we take him to the food market, pick out his ingredients, and then we cut back to Attell preparing his set, you know, going through his list, and then we'd go to the prep station in the kitchen, and then you'd show some stand-up.
Yeah.
And then you'd show the delivery of the food in the actual restaurant. And then we'd all meet like nights of the night in a big circle table, eat the dish, and tell road stories.
I love that.
It's great.
Why'd they pass? Because they're idiots?
No, they tried to buy it. And they said, well, you're probably not going to host this if we
God
buy
it. God damn it.
And I said, I'll sit on that.
I fucking know so many.
I shouldn't have told that.
You can edit that if you want.
No, I don't care.
We don't give a shit. Honestly, sometimes when you say about show ideas that don't work on podcasts, it reignites it.
Yeah.
When I had that Stone Cold Law show on Peacock.
Yeah.
And WWE was dragging their feet.
Yeah.
I went on Barstool, was very loud about it.
Yeah.
Next day I flew to Charlotte to do shows at Comedy Zone. I get off stage. My agent, you know, the big dog
the one calls you never talk to.
Once a year you talk to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He calls me and he's
How's everything going, Dan? Yeah.
He called me and he goes, why did I just get screamed at by Nick Khan from the WWE? And I was like, oh no. Thank God it was after the show.
Yeah.
It was after the Thursday night show. And he was like, did you talk about the Stone Cold Law show on Barstool? And I was like, oh, I was real loud about it. And then they put it out, like Barstool's Instagram put it out as a clip.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, they're getting mad. And then we hung up, and then my manager called me and was like, great. It's like, that's exactly what you needed to do. Because now we're talking. Now they're now engaged in the conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Because here's the problem with the reason that TV shows are all shit right now, except a few. Obviously, there's always good stuff being made. But those networks and corporations have good ideas, and then someone tries to prove that they have a job,
100%,
and they fuck it up,
100%,
and they
it's
go.
It's always fingerprints.
It's always just somebody going somebody, and then you go, that ruins it.
It's the whole.
You take you out of that show. I don't give a shit about that show.
100%.
Joel McHale.
100%.
I don't give a fuck about all that.
100%. That's why you build your own thing.
That's why I felt bad for Josh Adam Myers because he did goddamn Comedy Jam, and they pulled him as the host.
Yeah.
That show works because Josh hosts it.
Yeah.
He knows how to host it.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, Comedy Central's like, no, we'll just do it without you. And then it just looked like karaoke.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, with Josh, he explains, he tells where it comes. He does a song, he fucks around. They always do that. They try to change the recipe.
Of course they do.
And it fucking breaks.
Because they're talentless fucking hacks.
That's what it is. They get into the business.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing I'm liking about watching the collapse of the industry
100%.
Is watching those people try to pivot to new stuff now. Where they go,
dude, it's like
I'm a podcast booker now.
Yeah.
And you go, you told me no when you were at TNT.
It's truly priest going to a new parish.
It really is. They just move them around. That's perfect.
It'll be some fucking executive at Comedy Central like, they're now with some other media. They're the VP of this other media company. I'm like, I know what you did when you were at Comedy Central. I know how many fucking shows you diddled. Yeah, you know how many shows you know.
I remember when Delco proper should have gone to the fucking distance. Dude, they could have.
You dyed your hair, but I know it's you.
Yeah.
Dude, I got a good story. I got a good story.
I love this. I want to keep talking. I want this story. We're coming back to this, though. Yeah.
So I took one cooking class in my life at the Viking Culinary. It was one of those like date night cooking classes.
Sure.
You make a dish with the chefs in the Viking. It was off the main line in Philly. And it was like salted fish. It's like a fish you bake in salt. Who gives a shit? Anyway, so we're cooking, we're prepping, we're doing the whole thing. There's probably four or five other couples. I got my eye on this fucking chef, right? The sous chef.
Yeah.
He's a light-skinned, bald, black guy.
Okay.
And I'm like, how do I know this fucking guy? I know this guy. How do I know him? The whole time, I can't focus. My girl's like, Tom, come on. We got to make the goat cheese with pink peppercorns. And I'm like, I fucking know this guy, and it's killing me. And the whole time, I go, I fucking got it. I know it. This guy was a teacher at St. Charles Borromeo, where I went to grade school.
Okay.
He came in when I was in eighth grade and blew the fucking roof off. He was like a cool black guy, and everyone's like, yo, this dude fucking rules.
Yeah, I'm not racist. I like this teacher. That's the thing.
Yeah, McNabb.
Yeah, McNabb and this teacher. I'm not racist at all.
So he was a priest that came in out of nowhere, and then I walked up to him after the class, and I was like, I know who you are. Your father something or other. You taught me in eighth grade, St. Charles. And he goes, No, I don't know what that is. And I go, yeah, I know that's you.
He's cleaning off a knife. He goes, please leave me alone. Please.
There's enough blood on this.
Please. You're gonna dig, and you're not gonna like what you're gonna find. Oh.
About a week goes by, right? So we leave. Obviously, a week or two goes by, and this girl I went to grade school and high school with sent me a picture of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it's this dude's face for pedophilia.
Yeah.
And the guy.
It's not for fucking a car wash or fucking.
It wasn't for the salted cod. I know it was bad. It wasn't that bad.
That's crazy.
Dude got fucking passed around enough where they were like, all right, now we can't do anything.
And
he's a sous chef.
Yeah. And by the way, in the restaurant industry goes, yeah, we'll take you. We need the bodies.
Yeah, 100%.
The restaurant industry just go, fine.
Yeah, we got 100 cases of onions. I don't care how many kids you rape.
Fuck, I don't care if little kids get you hard, fine.
Yeah, sharpen that paring knife, pal. You're in for it.
Yeah, dude, that really is true, though. That's why it's always funny when I see comics that publicly are like, fuck this network or fuck that network. It's like, no, fuck that network. You have a problem with a specific person at that network.
Yeah, of course.
That didn't greenlight something.
And they're always like, I'm sorry, there is anger and hate that I hold, but like, we're talking talentless, rich women.
Yeah.
That are truly like, they're held in regard as if they've done anything in their life.
Yeah.
Their parents paid the rent so they could be $20,000 income.
Dude.
And eventually they're VP of fucking comedy development.
Who
the fuck are you? Have you ever made a sketch? Have you ever done anything in your life?
I remember going to a meeting. This is when MTV was turning into pure shit. It was like still shit.
R.I.P. MTV.
But it wasn't. When MTV was doing, like, they just went full like 16 and pregnant. All that shit. Yeah. They were just like, we don't give a fuck about music anymore. We're not doing any of our cool programming. They were like, we have a meeting with MTV. And I told my agents, I was like, there's nothing. They don't want me. I'm an alcoholic. At the time, I was like just drinking every day. I was like, they don't, there's nothing. And I don't think there's anything I want to do with them.
Yeah.
They're like, no, there's this new girl who works there who saw you at the Cellar, and she thinks you're so funny and she wants to meet with you. And I go in her office, and it's her. She was really nice. And then her assistant, who's like fresh out of college.
Yeah, 23.
Whose dad probably runs BlackRock.
100%.
Who probably flips fucking Section 8 housing for profit. And that meeting to me was like, oh, this shit's so broken.
Yeah.
Because I sat down and they're like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And I went, well, you guys should start playing music again. I was like, this like reality shit sucks. You guys should start doing music. And I was like, bring pop-up video back.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys own VH1. You own the IP. Let me host pop-up video.
Yeah.
I would host the fuck out of that.
That would be so sick.
And dude, that was the funniest part of any meeting I've ever taken with a network, because the older lady went, I loved pop-up video.
Yeah.
The woman I had, like, it turned out the meeting was with like an older woman. She was around my age, and she was like, grew up watching pop-up video. It was the best. You learned this about all this. You learned extra stuff about the artist.
Yeah.
And so we're like vibing on it. And I was like, straight up, you own the IP.
Yeah.
Reboot that shit. I'll host it. We'll make it a little darker. We'll make it funnier.
Yeah.
We'll bring in writers. We'll have like a good time. And she's like, I could see it in her face. This is like, and then her assistant, who's straight out of college, goes, I don't know if we could call it pop-up video.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, I just did the hand. Yeah, and I go, we'll call it pop-up video. And then she goes, we should call it like super fun stuff you don't know about. Video. She like said something like that. And I was like, yeah, this is fucked.
Dude.
And then I just started watching it spin out. And I was like, to the lady, I was like, it was nice meeting you. I don't think there's anything here for us.
All
but
of
then
these...
you watch just MTV go down the drains. And you're like, well, of course they're playing ridiculousness all day. They don't make anything.
These executives at these creative places, it's like when you have a conference call for like a real job, right? And there's always some fucking Debbie at the end who just wants to put her fingerprint going like, I'm listening, I'm working, and she'll just drone on for 5 minutes about fucking nothing.
Yeah.
They have to put their fingerprint on and say, I did that.
So
during the process of Delco Proper, it got morphed. If you look at our pilot at the funeral.
It's unbelievable.
It's perfect.
It's unbelievable.
It's our dark tone. It's the image and the comedy that we wanted.
Butterly with blonde hair.
Hilarious. Dude, one of their notes of butter, like, we don't think he would call her a bitch. Yeah, this fucking young bitch. You don't think that animal would call a woman a bitch? Have you seen?
Did you watch the episode?
Who we're creating?
Which
you don't think
like,
he would call a woman a bitch?
When you watch that pilot, it's just the Leo meme the whole time.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody go, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
There he is.
Oh, my God. Randy's a creep.
Yeah.
And fucking Shane's the ump.
Yeah.
It's a Little League game. Dude. And it's like crazy when you watch it. What's crazy to me is, you know, I know where we made our faults. We got, because at the same time, this is like one of those things where you find out where you go, that would have been so cool. They were developing Delco Proper and Michelle Wolf and
yes,
I shows.
Yes, the car show.
Used car lot. About working at the used car lot with Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah.
And fucking
it was like, great.
Tony Amatuk.
Yeah.
We had like an unbelievable cast.
Yeah.
And that script was dark and funny and watching them come in and fucking ruin it, they made us.
Dude.
They took a 24-minute pilot and they were like, here's what we're going to do. Snapchat is huge.
Yeah.
So we're going to film three different episodes. So we had to take a pilot, take it into three different things.
Yeah.
And then what we filmed, they went, Snapchat's only 5 minutes. So cut your 11-minute things down to 5 minutes. They edited it, took all the good stuff out. It was, I won't even post it.
You can't.
Michelle and I were so fucking angry at that whole situation.
Yeah.
That like, I remember being, this is when I was on the Bonfire. I remember being in one of the fucking conference rooms on the 37th floor of Sirius, just an empty conference room, screaming at someone being like, what the fuck are you doing to the show?
Yeah.
Because you guys got to make the pilot, at least film it. Yeah. They buckled us at the script process. They were like, I don't know. Nick DiPaolo as a fucking car owner.
Hilarious.
As a used car owner.
Hilarious.
Letting him be angry and racist.
Shane and I would watch his podcast, like late night.
Yeah.
Just watching him rant.
I mean,
dude, I love that fucking
We set up
Nick DiPaolo losing his fucking mind.
And also maybe
the funniest thing ever.
Maybe this country wouldn't be so divided if you would have a show that had Michelle Wolf and Nick DiPaolo.
100%.
Because one of
it's real.
One of the greatest scenes we had was we went, Nick, go off on Michelle. And he's like, you fucking stupid red hair. Yeah. And he like went off on her and then she fired back and I was like, this is awesome. This is awesome. We had a good director. We had it was fingerprints. Yeah. It was people getting in and fucking with it.
Yeah.
And by the end, it sucks when you make something and you're with it the whole time. And by the end you go, look what they've done to my boy.
Dude, me and McKeever worked like for 10 years doing sketches and stuff like that. But like, if you look at that first pilot of like the even before the web series, the funeral episode, that's the one where
that's
I'm like,
pilot.
That's the lens of what we wanted to capture. And then it goes to the web series, fingerprint. Then it goes to the pilot for television, double fingerprint. Yeah. And then it's like, well, this is not who we are.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's
the beauty of what they're doing with Tyrus with Netflix is like the full creative control.
Dude.
It's all about numbers. No one gives a fuck anymore. You can eliminate all these fucking, these, you know, nonsensical fucking morons.
And what you do is you have Shane and McKeever going in there going, leave me the fuck alone.
100%.
And Netflix goes, for sure.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is very
That's on the
rare.
Back of Shane going, I'm the fucking best in the world
because
right
I'm
now.
The heavyweight
you
champ.
You can suck my dick.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I'll call you back.
You know what's funny is, because when you remember, Shane was a young pup when Delco Proper's going on. And it's almost like he grew up to be like, I watched what you guys did to my boys.
Yeah.
You're not fucking doing
100%,
that. 100%. Suck my dick.
Yeah.
Make the show I want to make. And that's what you need.
Yeah.
That's what you need is you need a big dog that someone's going to come in and big dog.
Yeah.
And go, fuck you, I'm not making that.
Well, McKee was doing the same thing, like creative-wise, where he's like, he's not, I know for a fact, he's not making the same mistakes and letting people step on some product. He's like, this is how I'm doing it. You could suck my bird too. You know,
I came out hot after Stone Cold Law got killed. We had a show. We sold it with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not talking about this was like, we were like, and maybe we can get him.
Yeah.
He was on the Zoom calls. He was fucking bloop, bloop, popping up going, hey, what's going on, boys? And you're like, hey, Steve, swear to God.
That's
just popping up being like, what's going on with you guys? Yeah, I'm in Utah learning how to shoot a sniper rifle. And me and St. Germain are like, I'm like, I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima. It's a samurai game. Feeling like a queer. But we, I was so hot after that cartoon got killed. Because here's what pissed me off. We wrote, St. Germain's such a fucking great writer.
Dude, and
we
so
wrote,
funny, dude.
We wrote.
I was supposed to do a podcast with Bobby Kelly last night.
Yeah.
And I'm doing taking this antibiotic for the, I think. I passed out. Yeah. I missed the fucking podcast.
Bobby
hasn't responded to me yet.
He's a hero.
Dan did. Dan said, are you okay? Okay, is there anything I can help with? Bobby,
he's the sweetest.
Bobby sent me to the moon. I'm gonna find out if he's really upset.
He is. But I'm going to tell you right now. He is.
Yeah. Fuck, dude.
Sight unseen.
Bobby, I'm sorry.
Sight unseen. Just
make this the only clip. Bobby, I'm sorry I missed your podcast.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I was a sick boy.
Hold on real quick, Tommy.
Yeah.
Sight unseen. He's very mad. But he just saved a life, so he's okay. He's a hero. He's running off the fumes of being a hero.
Yeah.
So you made your mistake at the right time, is what I want to say. It's all about timing. But what's funny is when I came off that Stone Cold, we wrote the script, we gave it to him, and then Peacock's coming back to us going, we're passing it around the office. Everyone thinks this is hilarious. If we can get Steven Seagal to be the bad guy in this, this would be fucking great. Stone Cold versus Steven Seagal. And then they pass on it. And you go, then what was all the dick tickling you were doing?
Dude.
So then when I came in with the cartoon we're doing now at Fox, I came in on like every meeting and I was like, here's the deal. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I got a YouTube subscription. I'm on the road. I'll take, because of Shane.
Yeah.
Shane did this with Gillian Keeves.
Yeah.
When he did his first theater tour, he took the marketing money and turned around and made season two of Gillian Keeves.
Yep.
So when I saw that, I was like, that's a brilliant idea. When I signed up to do a theater tour, I turned around and I told all these networks, I was like, I'll make it myself.
Yeah.
There's young animators and I can get people to do the voiceover.
Now you could do everything on your own, man.
That's what I mean.
And they said this shit 10 years ago, but like now it's true.
It's
now,
so true that you don't need anybody.
No, dude.
But what I like about Fox is, and shout out Cheryl at Fox, she was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, I like this attitude. She's like,
well,
let's make it.
There's certain networks that are starting to function the way like a YouTube designer would.
It's
they're going fuck everything because they've seen it too.
Yeah.
And if you get in the, I do voiceover for Universal Basic guys on Fox. And it's like, those guys are like, they don't abide by the rules either. It's
also,
just like,
shout out those guys because of their show. They were like our premise of our show. They're like, that might pair well together.
Yeah.
And you're like, please.
Yeah. It's season three right
fucking
now.
Fucking please. I know. Yeah. Cause they're the same production and everything that our show is.
Nice.
So we're watching them and we're going like, guys, can you give us a green light, please?
Yeah.
We can make a fucking great
show.
Let's
go.
And we got roles for everybody, baby.
Yeah.
Just fucking let us in the door.
Yeah.
But
I'll do something for you.
Dude, fuck yeah, you will.
I'll do something for
you.
Are
you kidding me?
I can do lots of stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I can do lots of voices.
You're going to be absolutely one of the eighth grade bullies.
Just don't make me a fucking wop. I'm tired of being Italian.
You're not going to be. You're not going
to be. I can be a little kid.
I know. No. You get to be a little kid. I'm not going to make you a little Ginzo.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a little fucking.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Just regular. Can I just be regular?
But shout out another thing that's great about.
I just talking like this. Can I just be regular?
Can I be a regular?
Why is everybody telling me I'm a fucking Italian? Why can't I just be a regular guy?
Why is everybody going to put me over noodles? I don't want to go over noodles no more.
I'm naked with a robot. Why do people keep cornering me in there?
Holding a newspaper like the end of a fucking Goodfellas?
13.
Yeah. You're a grown
what's
man.
Your fucking problem? I can't just be myself.
Before we leave, I need to know what happened with the bleach.
Right now?
Just what happened? Tell me the story.
Dude, it was Final Destination type shit, I told you. I bought, my girl has a thing with her eyes.
Your girlfriend's unbelievable,
she's
by the way.
Best.
She's
the best.
She was at the Look at Dish.
Yeah, yeah.
That Look at Dish, we were just like, oh, we don't even want to leave.
I know, dude. It's so
you guys
fun.
Were like, we're going to film another one. We're like, can we just fucking all hang out?
Yeah.
It was the best.
Yeah.
So she has fucked up shit with her eyes.
She's like deathly afraid of anything with eye related.
I get that.
She gets nuts.
She can't do contacts.
Dan, I have to fucking roll the windows up to use the windshield wiper fluid.
What?
Yeah.
What?
She'll go nuts if the windows are down.
She barks
in Texas.
She barks at the wind.
She's afraid a piece of starts scratching
like a little dog.
She's afraid a piece of the water that has a chemical in it will fly into her eye and she'll go fucking blind. She's nuts about shit like that. So she goes, "You clean the shower." She says it all the time. "Don't get bleach in your eye." I'm like, "Shut the fuck up." Yeah. How would I get bleach in my eye? She says crazy shit. I think she put it in the universe. She wished this on me at some point. Yeah. Anyway, I order three Tylex with bleach. Sure. It's the only thing that gets mold off.
It really is. Tylex with bleach, they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. It's since one of those 409, things like,
I think 409's defunct.
Dude, it's Ron Papil, set it and forget it. You don't even have to scrub, dude. Yeah. Just squirt and let it sit. Yes. And you're good. Our everything's impeccable in our bathroom.
Can I tell you, last time I cleaned my bathroom, I did that and forgot I did it and jumped in the shower. Yeah. And went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And as I turned it on, I was like, oh, my God, I'm just naked surrounded by bleach.
Welcome to cocaine, brother.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Anyway, I pull out one of the bottles, brand new out of the box.
Sure.
I spin the top from off to on, yes. You know. I start spraying like this by the shower head. Wall one. I'm on wall one.
Yeah.
Not even in the width part yet.
Yeah.
And the bottom drops out of the handle, the mechanism, hits a towel rack, and does a 360 at my face. And when I say it was a violent splash direct to the fucking eyeball.
Come down like that.
Dude, it and like directly in my fucking eyeball, I immediately go to the sink.
Could you feel it immediately?
Oh, dude. And I go to the sink, start splashing. I'm washing it out. I even got in the shower for 15 minutes. My girl calls my sister-in-law, who's a doctor, and I'm like, I'm screaming. I'm going, I'm not going to the fucking ER. We had plans.
Yeah.
We had plans that night.
That's so funny.
And I'm not going to the fucking ER. It's going to cost
me. I can't break plans. Dude. I can't. Your eyes
I'm just
all
wearing
white.
An eye patch.
Can Tommy see the future now?
Yeah, we got sushi tonight. I'm not going to the fucking ER.
They're
going to
do a little roll. We're going to sit around and watch rich people eat fucking sushi.
And finally, she texted like her friend, who's also a doctor. And like three doctors said, go to the ER.
Yeah, bleach you gotta.
And then I sat in the fucking ER for like 5-6 hours.
Fuck.
Canceled my sets. I had mothership sets.
How long did it wait for them to see you?
It was pretty quick.
Okay.
I guess they just look around going, who needs the most immediate attention?
They always do that.
They asked me how long ago it was. I only told them like 25, 30 minutes because it was right around the corner of this hospital. So they let me sit there for like a half hour, maybe, before I got this thing called the Morgan's lens.
Which I saw that they open your eye.
Yeah. I'll send you the photos.
Yeah, he'll edit it.
You can post it up.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a giant plastic, imagine a contact, but larger, where it sits underneath each.
Ah, fuck that, dude. I can't fuck with eye shit. I'm like your girlfriend. I can't fuck with that.
And then they put this IV thing, the drip, and they just, for an hour and 15 minutes, I sat there while this bag depleted. And you don't, I'll tell you what, when you close your eyes, you don't realize what straight is, right? So you got to stay straight on this lens or else it starts cutting into your cornea.
Oof.
Right? So every time you go left and right, and dude, you kidnap me, everybody's going to jail. The fucking secrets I would tell, if they kept me in there for 15 more minutes, I'm ripping that fucking thing out.
Yeah.
I was like losing my mind. It started getting like real crazy.
How did it feel? Did you get the relief of when they took it out?
No, there's no relief at all.
That's like a catheter.
There's ear.
Have you ever been catheter?
100%.
It's like,
no, I haven't. Zero, I imagine.
The worst. Because they, after I got my shoulder operated on, they were like, "We got to give you a catheter."
Yeah.
Because I had to piss and I couldn't because of the medications. And when they put it in, you go, "Oh, I'll feel the relief," but you don't feel the relief.
No.
And then when they pull it out, it hurts even. And then you're like, just sitting there after
for 2 days. The irritation's nuts. Why am I wearing these fucking glasses? You think I want to look like this, dude?
I thought you were going into your producer
route.
I am in
New York, though, huh?
Bet you're not getting bothered in Midtown. Yeah.
I just sold three cartoons.
Go to 47th Street. I bet they ain't bugging you.
Bet oh, bugging. The Morgan's lens.
There you go.
I invented that.
I got a deal for you on a diamond. Oy vey, look at this boy.
Fuck.
No, it's all right. It's like so the anyway, dolphin season.
Yeah, so it's just, 3 days of hell, and now I got this ointment.
So you have to put it in. Did you experience any eye?
No, I feel good. The problem is it's like, I forget the alkaline, with bleach, you can't tell if it's corroding your actual cornea and retina. So it's very, you know.
Yeah, that's.
It's dangerous.
Fuck yeah.
Because you're not feeling the immediate pain the way you think you would.
Yeah.
And it's slowly.
That's the scariest shit.
Slowly corroding.
Because you go, I feel fine. And yeah. then you open it and you're just one eye Willy. Yeah. From fucking
you start losing
Goonies.
Your sight. I'm supposed to go to an optometrist before I put contacts in. We shoot tires on Monday. And okay. I'm like, I can't fucking. I gotta see a doctor. Before so I can then, wear yeah. contacts. Yeah.
Yeah. Because could you film tires without contacts?
Yeah. I'm not. My sight's not bad. It's just yeah. like.
And you're not like reading like cue cards or nothing.
No.
You're just
no.
You're being a fucking. Yeah.
Being a wop.
Being a wop. You and Schultz being wops. dude, that's, I mean, way, way, way less dangerous, but getting stuff in your eye
yeah.
is a feeling that you go, it's immediately helplessness.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
immediately like your hands go up and you're like,
dude, you take things for granted, man.
Dude, when I worked at Dos Caminos, we had a salsa trio that you'd have to put out on everyone's plate.
Bro.
It's pretty sick. But there was a habanero salsa that was like filled with habanero peppers.
You get in your eye?
Yo, dude. So you take ladles and there's a trio that you have to like bring to the table with the chips. So you ladle it out or whatever. Yeah. One time I dunked the ladle in and Splash. It just goes bloop
oh,
right into my eye.
My God.
And I was like, just like on the line being like, it's in my eye.
It's pepper spray.
The sous chef. And I don't know if this was just like it worked because I thought it was going to work, gave me a glass of milk. And then it was small enough where I put it over my eye and just had to open my eye and milk and like do that. And he's like, do it. It's a base. It'll fucking neutralize it or whatever. And I was like, I don't know if that worked or what. Like people might know what that is and like that.
It's supposed to.
But it helped.
Yeah.
It was like, but it's so funny. Me back on the floor with just a one red eye.
Yeah.
And like, do you want to try a guacamole? Like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? But I still remember seeing the ladle
right
go
you.
In and go
whoop,
right in. And I was like, how do those porn stars take cum to the face?
Yeah, it's fun.
Because they go.
Yeah. They're hungry. They skip lunch. You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Yeah, they got to bring in porn stars to show you how to deal with bleach. They go, this right here is Julie Ann. Yeah. She's going to show you. She's like,
taking it right to the eye.
I love you. I think you're one of my favorite human beings on the planet.
Thank you, bro.
Every time I see you, I get ramped up.
Say.
Stuff Island, look at Dish.
Yeah.
Watch his stand-up. He's fucking hilarious.
Yes, sir.
Tires, season 3.
Yep.
You got the wops in that. Everything Tommy Pope, ingest it and love it. Love you, buddy.
Sorry about your
phone. Go Niners.
Whoa. Don't end like that.
I know, but I got to say it. Yeah. I'm a fan.
No, you're right.
I got to say go Niners.
In 2-1, go Birds.
Okay. God,